We ask that you envelop this place with your tangible presence. Let the concentration of your presence be as strong as the hand of a physical man. Let the realities that accompany your presence no longer be a subject of speculation after tonight. That which only your presence can do, let it be available to us today in Jesus' name. Now, photographer, I'm not the only person in the hall. There are so many people. You can snap those people. But leave me alone. If you want to snap, you can snap from afar. Don't come and stand in front and say you are doing something. Okay? Please sit down. God bless you. I was just trying to... We are going to do a training. We need to do this training so that I can do the job that God has released me to do tonight. My assignment tonight is to impart spiritual gifts. But before we do that, we need to do a training and know what exactly we're talking about. So I want to invite you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you came here believing God, you will leave with something from God. First Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. May the Lord bless the reading of his word into our hearts in Jesus' name. And first and foremost, Paul was saddled with a very immense responsibility. On the strength of the responsibility that he had to put aside the normal discipleship manual that was used to educate infant believers, and he changed it because of the kind of converts that he had in the land of Corinth. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, you are going to have an idea of the kind of people that Paul was trying to educate about spiritual things. The guys in Corinth were people that had exposure to the workings of the negative supernatural before they give their lives to Christ. There were people that have worked in shrines and managed demonic portals, people that have seen the manifestation of the power of the devil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, because of the exposure that these guys had concerning spiritual matters, Paul had to adjust the Bible study outline for basic discipleship to accommodate the special kind of people that he was talking to. Now, for instance, if you were to go to a shrine, you minister to someone that was previously a high agent of the kingdom of darkness, and you were able to bring the person to church, what are you going to preach to the person? This guy is not a total novice. This guy is exposed to supernatural principles. If you don't have experience with God, you cannot educate such a person. And so Paul was establishing them in truth that he contacted by reason of his experience in the handling of divine things. There is a level of growth that is required in the body of Christ in these last days. I hear so many people, they want to talk about the angelic ministry when they have not encountered angels before. That's counterfeit ministry. Why not remain on the level of your encounter? And you'll be authentic. At least the Bible has not changed. You can minister from the scriptures and don't try to make people feel that you are what you are not. But in this case, if you don't have spiritual encounters, you will be incapacitated trying to communicate God to these people because of the exposure they have had in the kingdom of darkness. And one of the challenges that Paul had was to unveil how the divine supernatural realm operates so that they will not borrow principles from the dark realm in an attempt to administer realities in the divine realm. So he felt it was necessary for the believers in Corinth with that level of liability in their background not to be ignorant about the manifestation of the power of God. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So that's what we want to do right now. And in his discourse, you will see that Paul unveiled two key principles that reveal if someone is operating from the realm of God or not. So many people these days claim to have an operation of the Spirit of God over their lives, but there are two basic acid tests that we can use to verify the substance with which people minister. It's all there in verse 3. Before we begin the lecture proper, he said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost." Two principles he reveals. Well, probably because of time, I may not have sufficient opportunity to prosecute the two principles. But in summary, hallelujah, if you check critically again, in summary, you will see that if somebody is operating under the Spirit of God, there are several things he will not see. And if somebody is operating under the Spirit of God, there are several things he will see. That's the summary of that verse. Now, you see, when we check what you see under the influence of the Spirit that drives you, we will know the source from whence you operate. That scripture is the key to discerning true ministry. And that's not the subject for tonight. But it's an exposition. You can study it. God will help us in Jesus' name. As you must have noticed, and as you know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And for the purpose of this lecture, we'll be considering the first category, which is the category referred to as the revelational gifts. What is a revelation? I know many of you have said you had a revelation before, so what is it? Can we get a microphone from the console man so that we can test this congregation? What exactly is a revelation? Oh, you have an answer. All right. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. We have one here. Sorry about that. What is a revelation? Because there are only 2 ways, 2 basic subheadings, 2 ways God speaks. All the categories of the speakings of God can be categorized into 2 groups. One of the groups is revelation. What is revelation?
An unveiling.
Unveiling of?
Of truth.
Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be truth. The frame of reference that is called the physical realm is a realm of space, it's a realm of time, it's a realm of matter. And one of the reasons why we need revelations to participate in things happening beyond this realm is because we were created with this body of earth. This body of earth is a veil that entraps us and makes us function in the outlook of the natural plane. In a revelation, what God does is that He takes you beyond the veil. Meanwhile, are you with me? Oh, this usher is, she has a mind of her own. This is a course. We are doing it. This is a lecture. It's a refresher course. It is expected that you know what I'm teaching. I'm just refreshing your understanding in matters that you are very competent in. That's my job. So it's a simple job because you have an idea of what I'm talking about. You know, I said that the speakings of God can be categorized into 2 broad headings. We have so many channels through which God can speak, but all of them can be categorized into 2 major streams. One of the streams is revelation. What's the next stream? You seem to have an answer the way you are looking at me. What's the next stream? There are various categories of channels that are under the stream called revelation. Then there are various other categories that are under the second stream. And the gifts of the Spirit are built on these streams. Yes. If you don't know, just be honest. Don't try to know. Just be honest. In the body of Christ, we need honesty. I don't know. The way he was looking at me as if he has a PhD in theology. So I said, okay, let's start from that knowledge. Then suddenly there's a break in transmission. Don't say you don't know. It's not as if the answers are complex. They are very simple answers. But you need to be educated in spiritual things in order for you to become efficient and in order for you to have the capacity to discern when what is happening is fake. Because with every revival that rises, the fakes rise side by side the true thing that God is doing. The kingdom of darkness at this point in time is very, very diligent to ensure that we are caught up in a web of falsehood and we frustrate the agenda of God. Hallelujah. And so the two broad categories, one is revelation, the other one is inspiration. Now, who can tell us the difference between revelation and inspiration? Revelation and inspiration. They are gifts that are built on the channel, on the stream of inspiration. Those are the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. They are built on the stream of inspiration. But this other category of gifts are built on the stream of revelation. Revelation has a nature, has a character, and we must understand revelation, and we must be able to differentiate it from inspiration. Who can help us now? I know these are, most of you are Bible teachers. You have been discipling people on spiritual matters before this time. So what's the major difference between a revelation and an inspiration? Who can help us now? You don't want to participate in my, you don't like my approach of teaching? I want us to participate. Amen. Now, you see, I have already outlawed this practice. There are so many people, like these people are dressing, looking well dressed. You can. The minister's stand is quite colorful. Combination of whites and all that. Amen. Don't mind me. I'm just excited today. Normally, I don't smile like this when I preach. Today is a good day. Amen. Now, so the difference between revelation and inspiration is one word. It's called remembrance. In revelation, in inspiration, when what God does, He brings to your remembrance something you have heard before, something you knew before. But He brings it because it is the present revelation position of the Spirit. You heard it before. You knew it before. Then He brings it out. He brings it to your remembrance. He quickens it into your memory. It stands out in your mind. That's how an inspiration is. But a revelation is something you were not thinking about. Something that was not in the crucible. It takes you beyond the veil, and it discloses it. Are you with me? Because in the inspirational gifts, the things will be coming into your understanding. There are not things that are totally new, but that is what God is saying now. Brings them, invokes them into your remembrance so that you can catch it in your mind before you speak it with your mouth. Hallelujah. Because in inspiration, God possesses you. It's 100% possession. And then He reveals Himself to you in your inner man so strong that He takes advantage of your vocal cord and He reveals His counsel in the first person. Reveals His counsel what? In the first person. You find the person saying, "I am the Lord," as if the person is God. That's the stream of inspiration. If we had time, we would have looked at the dynamics of the stream of inspiration. And how that we need that river of inspiration to come bathe the church of Jesus again in this end time. But the stream, thank you so much, thank you. The stream that powers the category of gifts that we want to look at is the revelation. Where God removes the veil and causes you to see an activity that was going on all the while that you could not participate in because of the limitations placed on you by the veil. And the veil of which I speak is the veil of your flesh. And so this kind of insight that comes on the strength of revelation puts you on the cutting edge. It gives you an advantage beyond the natural person, your contemporary, your equals, your colleagues, it's supposed to be the basis of an advantage. Right? Supposed to be the revelation is supposed to give you an advantage over the average person studying the course that you are studying right now. You people have, in the natural, you have relatively, seemingly the same kind of opportunities. But if you are a recipient of revelation, you can actually advance beyond people that you have the same opportunities with. Because revelation puts you on the advantage. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible, God speaking, says, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it occurred in the heart of man." That means it's a mystery. Something that eyes have not seen, something that ears have not heard, something that have not occurred in the heart of man is beyond human civilization. Is locked up in God. But he has revealed it to them. That what? Let's see that scripture. It seems many people don't know the scripture. Now, you'll be sinning against this congregation if you allow your phone to ring in this service. I need to tell you a secret. The secret is that I went to preach in Sokoto. Somebody broke the rules of the service, and the person became dumb. Could no longer speak. You know, many of you have not, probably you have not met people that know God. Maybe, I think so. The guy became dumb. In order for him to communicate, he had to write on a sheet of paper. And then the escort man came to me to help him. I said, how do I have anything to do with his condition? Am I aware of his condition? How did he contact his condition? So after enough pleading, I now began to beg God. Begged him. Then he opened the guy's vocal cord. I warn you, do not distract this service. Alright. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom." Okay, no, that's too long. Verse 6 and 7. "How be it, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." You will need a revelation in order for you to contact a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before unto our glory. This is hidden wisdom. And God designed that wisdom to put us on the advantage. He knows that so many people will be around when we manifest in our generation, and he wants to put us on the advantage. One of the ways he does that is that he gives us access to hidden things that are in the spirit through the revelatory stream. Now, these gifts that we are trying to consider are gifts that ride on that revelatory stream. And every time the gifts that are revelatory in nature are in manifestation, there is a profit that we can draw that gives us a capacity to be able to engage in practical human life situations much more accurately than we would have done without the aid of God's support. Now, in order for us to really build into the subject, I'll need to do a little course on witchcraft. If you don't know witchcraft, then you may not know how important some of these gifts are. So we'll just digress and talk about witchcraft for 20 minutes. And the scripture with which we will begin will be Galatians chapter 5. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Are you there in Galatians 5? Verse 19, the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Then you see witchcraft there. The first layer of witchcraft is part and parcel of the carnal nature of humankind. Are you with me? The first layer of witchcraft is part and parcel of what? The carnal nature of humankind. Witchcraft, by definition, is called counterfeit authority. Witchcraft, by definition, is called what? Counterfeit authority. It is using a spirit other than the Spirit of God to dominate, manipulate, or control others. It is using a spirit other than the Spirit of God to dominate, manipulate, or control others. There is only one spirit that has the license to manipulation, and that spirit is called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I remember when God, after graduating, in 300 level, I was hoping to become a lecturer. And when God began to deal with me, that of all the things that are written concerning me in heaven, being a lecturer is not one of them. I know how I struggled, I know all of that. It was the Holy Ghost that was manipulating me away from my ambition, so that I will come into the stream of the purpose of God. He is the only one that has license to do that kind of activity and to establish that level of engagement. If manipulation is done from any other source other than the Holy Spirit, it is illegitimate. The name of that manifestation is called witchcraft. And we have said that the first level of witchcraft is tied to the carnal nature of humankind. That's not the last level, but that's the first level. Everyone that is a child of Adam has tendencies to want to manipulate another person, to cause them to do what they want them to do. And there's a lot of witchcraft in church today. And we need to be able to separate witchcraft from true ministry. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Yeah. You can even use the gifts of the Spirit as an instrument of witchcraft. Especially in the West here, where every other person is a prophet in the West. And I've seen many people from the West that if prophets don't speak, they don't act. That's witchcraft. Because in the New Testament, we are prophetic. It was Moses that said, I wish that all the Lord's children were prophets, that he will put his spirit upon them. Because we have the spirit, we are prophetic. Not all of us are called into the office of the prophet, but the Holy Spirit we have received on the account of our salvation has a prophetic outlook. He doesn't see the way we see. He doesn't operate the way we operate. That's the basic and the fundamental investment that we have received from him that makes us prophetic in nature. Because you are prophetic, even though you may not be a prophet, if your vitality in the spirit is adequate, when I prophesy or say something to you, it will bring a confirmation to you in your spirit, because you have access to that same economy. So the words of a prophet should bring a confirmation and then bring you to a point where your soul is encouraged in the things that God was ministering to you that you were not sure it was God. But when I now come and confirm it, it's established. You are now confident to begin to carry it out. So a prophet is supposed to bring confirmation to you. A prophet is not supposed to use his gifts to direct you. That position of directing you is an exclusive reserve that only God should occupy. We should find people that want to use prophecy to control people. They have switched into manipulation, and the name of that is what? Oh my, you are not with me. Are you with me? Now, I've sat in the office of a prophet for a long time. And you see, in the school of the spirit, if you have not worked in something for 10 years, you are not it. You have not prayed for 10 years consistently, you don't know the power of prayer. If you have not given to God consistently for 10 years, you don't know the power of giving. If you have not lived a fasted life for 10 years, you don't know the power of fasting. Most of us are not becoming anything in church, because inconsistency lies the power. I've sat in that office by the grace of God for more than 10 years. Far more than 10 years. Are you with me? And there are several things I learned. People can actually trust you, trust the fact that you are almost always accurate. But that is not enough reason for you to give them directives by prophecy. Are you with me? Till today, even if I'm very sure of something, and it has to do with your own life and a decision you may need to take, I'll say, well, go and pray about this. Have an opinion that it is like this. Why? Because I'm not supposed to use my gift to control you. The name of that is what? Manipulation. There are many of your parents that are manipulated by prophets. It seems I'm lying. Okay. Now we need to understand that the devil is infiltrating the church with that manipulation. And manipulation is one of the tendencies that is capable of the human fallen nature. Are you still with me now? Now, so that's the first level. Let's take a few scriptures to confirm this. I don't have time. Okay, this is 15 minutes past 6. Okay. All right, let's try. Where's the guy, the technical man that manages the keyboard, the computer? Can you help me with 1 Samuel? Be fast. 1 Samuel chapter 13. From verse 1, 11 to 14. 1 Samuel 13, 11 to 14. 1 Samuel 13, 11 to 14. Now stay with me. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" Please, can you listen to what Saul said in response to Samuel's question? And Saul said, "Because I saw the people." If you still have your Bible, you can underline the people. That was Saul's challenge. Saul always felt insecure if the people were not on his side. He had, and that was an inclination of the flesh. Are you with me? Our security in Christianity is not because people are on our side. Our security is drawn from Christ. Christ is our security. Right? The assurance that he administers in our spirit man is the basis of our security, not the people. So Paul had that issue. That issue, that was one of the manifestations of his flesh. He needs people to agree with him. So every time he comes under pressure, and it's as if people are disagreeing with him, people are not siding with him, then he's likely to do something that is inconsistent with the purposes of God. And I assure you, each and every one of us has a loophole that the devil can exploit when you come under pressure. That's the loophole that we need to surrender to God until the cross cancels it out. If not, you are not going to be accurate. The devil will force you to make decisions that will marginalize 10 years ahead of you, 5 years ahead of you, 25 years ahead of you. And so that was his own weakness. He said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. So what did he do? I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. It was not within the scope of his jurisdiction for him to begin to do priestly business. He had no discipleship, no training in that regard. But because the people left, he came under pressure and he carried out an activity of the flesh. At this level, it was still the carnal nature that was not bridled that led to this error. But this was the error that made God to take the kingdom away from him. May you not make a mistake when it matters most, so that everything that your life represents in God will now be unbundled on the account of yielding to a desire of the flesh when God was expecting you to stand for him and to raise the standard. That's the first level. However, Samuel, being a spiritual man, now decided to give us an equation which we can understand parameters from the perspective and the witness of the Spirit. And that his equation is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 23. Now let us look at that quickly. We are going to use this equation subsequently. Now this is Samuel's comment, and he spoke by inspiration. This is a deep man of the Spirit, unveiling spiritual knowledge so that we will understand how to set our feet. He said, rebellion equals to witchcraft, and stubbornness equals to iniquity and idolatry. That's the formula. Rebellion equals to what? And stubbornness equals to what? Iniquity and idolatry. Now, you see, you may not have an idol in your cupboard that you go to kneel down to, but you can be capable of idolatry, because idolatry is one of the manifestations of the carnal nature. He's just showing us now through this equation the possibilities that are bound within the scope of that carnal operating software. Idolatry is part of it. Witchcraft is part of it. Iniquity is part of it. But he's giving us a down-to-earth presentation of equal and opposites. And he said rebellion is equal to witchcraft. It's a stubbornness when you know the will of God and you are still stubbornness is equivalent to iniquity and idolatry. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28, the bar is raised. 1 Samuel chapter 28, we see the raising of the bar. It came to pass in those... 1 Samuel 28 verse 3. 1 Samuel 28 verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. You see, that was a guy that used to help Saul. In fact, the first time that Samuel was away to pray on the mountain, that Saul went and sacrificed because Samuel had delayed and did not come in the days appointed. The reason for Samuel's delay was that the host of heaven, the stakeholders in heaven, had
were recommending that Paul should be rejected. Saul should be rejected. And Samuel loved Saul with passion. So Samuel was the voice in that council that was insisting that Saul should. The matter, the argument ended when on earth Saul went and conducted that sacrifice. Samuel's bargaining power was no longer valid. Right? Are you with me? It was because of him that Samuel tarried. And then the guy, yielding to desires of the flesh, went and committed fully. May God help us. Amen. You know, God went and boasted about Job before Satan. And then Satan was given the license to come and try him. May God not be ashamed when he boasts about us before Satan. And then Satan is given license to try us for a season in order to set us up for double promotion. May we not fall in the day of adversity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Samuel was dead, and the Israelites had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards of the land, out of the land. Yes, next verse. And the Philistines gathered themselves. They have come again. The same Philistines that were there, that pushed him to sacrifice, now they have gathered. And there's no Samuel in the picture. They gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Samuel saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when Samuel inquired of the Lord, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by what? Prophets. The receptacles were not effective because of a structural alignment matter. Then, this was where Saul now went to look for a wizard, a medium, to peep into the realm of the spirit on his behalf. You see. First of all, it began with an inclination of the carnal nature. But it did not stop there. It migrated. Because he needs the people on his side. And now that he has not been able to get the people on his side, because Samuel is no longer there for the counsel of God to be secured as to how the battle will be won, and the people need a word. So he had to go consult a witch. And that was when he moved in his manipulation from the level of the carnal nature. It has moved up to the spiritual realm. Now, witches that become witches, most of them did not start out as witches. The carnal nature, either to see the future, the carnal nature, either to have control over the husband, control over this, control over that, and that nature of control, that appetite of control that is not bridled, will eventually become the bait that the devil will use to draw the person into the crucible of witchcraft that is aided by demons. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. Now, you see, are you still here? I hope you know that the calling of Samuel was an authentic calling. But at this time, when he had joined himself and submitted himself to the authority of evil spirits, the Holy Ghost at this time will withdraw. But you know what? He was still king. It was an anointing that he received that he could function effectively as a king. Now he has joined himself with an evil spirit. God has withdrawn from him. And an evil spirit has come to take the place of the Spirit of God in his life. And he was still ruling, not by God anymore. Ruling by what? An evil spirit. It's possible for you to have a calling from God. And if you don't manage and check the issues of the flesh, check the issues of the carnal nature, it is possible for you to pollute your fountain. And when you prophesy, you are no longer prophesying by God. You are prophesying by another entity that is domiciled in the spirit realm. Do you still remember the story of Micaiah? The prophets in the territory, they were prophesying by a lying spirit. Have you seen that in the Bible? Yeah, they were prophesying by a lying spirit. And they did not even know that they were prophesying by a lying spirit. Because revelatory and prophetic things are up for contamination. The devil knows that those manifestations can be contaminated easily. There is a lifestyle that you must sustain if you are going to have a pure revelational river flowing through your spirit. There is a lifestyle that you must sustain to keep it pure. Now the guy was still on the throne, but he was ruling by another influence. Have you ever seen somebody before probably came and became governor of a particular state? Okay, I think that happened in Abia State. All the believers were praying that a Pentecostal should become governor. And he came there. Pentecostal, tongue talking. But by the time he was leaving, he was an Ezemo. And so the first revelational gift that I need to introduce to us on the strength of what I have shared is the gift of discernment of spirit. In the days of revival, the most important asset that we'll need to survive seasons in God, waves of God's visitation that will come to establish the kingdom of God in the midst of a territory and to empower functionaries and agencies that will transmit the mind of God is the gift of discernment of spirit. The fact that somebody was an accurate prophet 5 years ago doesn't mean he's still an accurate prophet now. There's this man, a great man of God. I used to follow him in the bush those days. I saw him do all kinds of stuff. He was one of the brothers that challenged me most in my life. This was somebody that we were going to a village, and as we were going on a bike, he missed the road. He didn't know the road to the village. Came down from his bike, spoke in tongues, and by the gift of word of knowledge, he drove us to the village. This man I speak about, you cannot hide something from him. If he speaks in tongues and speaks in tongues, he enters into the flow of word of knowledge, he can decode your name. I'm saying it's not a ministration thing. That's how he lives. You know, some of you are powerful on the pulpit. He is powerful in the market. He's powerful on the streets. He uses the gift as one vital factor for daily life. You need to, you shake. He went to preach in South Africa and was calling people's name in the congregation. After that meeting, he had invitation to 27 countries. The meeting he went for, it took 2 years before he came back home. That's the guy I'm talking about. 2 years. Because by the time he came back home, his passport had 22 visas. He had gone to 22 countries. He went for just one meeting, ended up going for 22 meetings, and it took him 2 years before he got back. This is a man that many presidents, president of Congo, DRC, we invite him. They will take a private jet to Nairobi to pick him up. Me and him were laboring in the village. He was the one that taught me how to hear God. Yes, he taught me. That was the prophet that taught me. He trained me in the woods how to fast, how to wait on God and kill the noise in your soul. Kill it. So that the sound, the vibrations of heaven becomes the sound that your soul will carry. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. The next time he now traveled, this time he now spent 5 years. But when he came back, it was not the man that traveled that came back. Something had happened to the stream. And that's why we need the gift of discernment of spirit. If you are still here, say amen. So the gift of discernment of spirit is the divine ability. Is the divine ability given to distinguish between one, error and truth, two, good and evil, three, reality and counterfeit, four, divine and demonic, five, true and false, six, spiritual and carnal. Where did you stop? Number what? Four. Let me start again. The gift of discernment of spirits is the divine ability given to distinguish one, error from truth, good from evil, reality from counterfeit, divine from demonic, true from false, spiritual from carnal. Now, I need to use two scriptures to introduce the gift. The first scripture will be John chapter 4, 8, verse 44. Please, technical man, walk with me. Oh my God, this technical man is wonderful. Who is the guy? Who is the technical man? Well, more grace on you. He typed faster than many people could write. Now, flash the list to them again so that they can make up their notes. All right? He could type faster than people could write. All right, so that's the list. Okay, flip now to my scripture. What's my scripture again? John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. Now, I need to use a Greek word here to unveil something. It says, ye are of. That's the word I came for. That word of, the Greek word that was translated of is ek. Ek means origination. The origin. It means the source. It means the fountain. You see, when Jesus comes to inspect a life, he doesn't look at it at face value. It traces the source. And so Jesus said, ye are ek. That's the same word in ekklesia. Ek. Out. Source. So in the gift of discernment of spirit, the source of things are probed. The source of things are probed. The singing can be good, but it's not the good singing that is the thing. The source of the singing is the thing. Are you with me? Alright. So Psalms 55 verse 21. Psalms 55 verse 21. Are you there in Psalm 55? Alright, you see. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. See, somebody can come to you in the natural and he's trying to be your friend. Meanwhile, the motive is different. The motive is that the person wants to bring you injury. It is through the gift of discernment of spirit that you can pick his motive. Beyond the theatrics in the natural, you can pick the motive. You can pick what is written on the person's heart through the gift of discernment of spirit. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. I went somewhere to preach. Then I was still single, very single. And when I got to the place, I met a lady. And when I shook the lady, I lost my peace. And I know what that means. What it means is that God, beyond her, she was trying so much to be nice. She was trying so much to honor me. She was trying so much to be noticed. But by that witness that came from the Holy Ghost, I knew this was a strange part. It was 10 years later that I knew what that little rejection feeling I had in my spirit. Are you with me? Meant. Because she herself came and confessed to me what she had in mind 10 years later. Sometimes the difference between life and death is just a sign. May the Lord give you capacity to read that sign accurately. Because many people, young ladies, where are you? Many young men understand the skill of talking, and they can steal your heart away and compromise your destiny. It will take you long to recover. And that's why you cannot, your human wisdom is deficient. When we begin to pray today, cry for the gift of discernment of spirit. It can take you beyond face value perspective. It can take you into heart and motive matters. Because the gift of discernment of spirit strikes at the source of everything. So its true nature is unveiled by the witness and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. All right, are you still with me? The ability to discern spirits is given to know what kind of spirit is in operation in a person at a given time, in order to avert deception. It gives the ability to see the presence and the activities of a spirit that motivates a human being, whether it is good or bad. It helps to know the motive of people. Now, in Luke chapter 20, from verse 20 to 23, you are going to see an example of the manifestation of the gift of discernment of spirit in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power of the authority and of the governor. So the idea is they want to arrest Jesus. But they need Jesus to make a statement, a stray statement, that consolidates their claims, that consolidates him as a violator of the law of the land. And then he'll be arrested by the governor. Okay, so that's the background scenario. And they asked him, saying, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither accepts thou the persons of any, but teachest the way of God truly." First of all, they came to massage Jesus' flesh. This is a massaging activity. They came with healing. "We know that you are a teacher. You teach and communicate only the truth. You do not consider the presence of men. Yours is the truth only. Glory to God." That's what they did. Let me tell you something quickly. When you come to a place and your flesh is massaged, your discernment will drop. For you know, Jesus is a master in these matters. Most of you that like healing, they heal you, say, "Yeah, oh, wow." You have been punctured. If you go to where demons and witches really operate, you don't stand a chance. You won't come back. Of all the parts of Africa that there are, if God opens doors for you and you find yourself in the southern region of Africa, Swaziland, Botswana, Malawi, South Africa itself, Tanzania, that's when you will know you need the discernment of spirit. Most of the witches will know you before you are coming. And remember, anytime there's a deliberate attempt to massage your flesh, keep the flesh under check. Say, "Ah, the prophet of Nigeria." Don't answer them. Next verse. This is the question that they had in mind all along, but the other one that they did was massaging. So that Jesus will now sit down and say, all right. Oh yeah, so, amen. is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? This is not a pastoral question. This is a governmental issue. And if Jesus does not handle this matter very well, he will end up in the cell. The motive, they have already prepared a cell with thorns for him before they sent these spies. They were not journalists. They were spies by profession. Next verse. But he what? He perceived their craftiness. He saw through all the theatrics, saw through all the drama. May the Lord give us eyes to see through the drama of men. He perceived their craftiness. I know a wonderful lady. She's exceptionally beautiful. If we are 200 million Nigerians right now, according to current statistics, there are not up to 40,000 Nigerians that are as beautiful as that lady. But she ended up marrying an occultist. The occultist was able to play the church game, comes to church just because of her. In fact, the guy became an usher just because of the lady, just to show that he's committed to God. Ladies are endangered species. And I pray for you that God will help you. But you see, you guys are gullible. You people, you ladies. Instead of you to go and seek the face of God, you say, he loves God. And I love him. Jesus saw through the drama, saw through the craftiness, he saw through the deception. And he told them, he made a statement to make them know that I know why you are here. What did he say? He said unto them, why tempt ye me? He has disarmed them. There are many people that you can only disarm by discernment. The gift of discernment of spirit can bring security against false doctrine and false ministers. You find that in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 to 25. The gift of discernment of spirit purges the church from dishonest and false activities. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 23. Now let's do Acts 8. Dishonest and false activities can be purged from the church. Okay, 8 verse. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was not falling upon them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid there their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon the sorcerer, saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. This guy, are you with me? The Simon man, who was considered to be the great power of God in that city, a major Ifa priest in the territory, that called the shots. When Philip the evangelist came, running ministry in the evangelical way, Simon the sorcerer behaved to be one of his converts. Me too, I surrender. And the reason for which Simon the sorcerer accepted to be his convert is so that he can infiltrate the system he's trying to establish. And the evangelist is an office that is deficient in discernment. The evangelical office is deficient in discernment. So with his evangelical spirit, he could not pick the fact that Simon was a fraud. It was when the apostles were sent from Jerusalem, and the apostolic office is rich in discernment. In fact, the carriers of plumb lines, it is the gift of discernment of spirit that gives them the orientation that they have. That's how quality control can be brought into the body of Christ. It was when the apostles came. Next verse. Saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, the next verse is where I'm going. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. That means he wasn't born again. Are you with me? Peter was able to discern that the guy was not born again. There are many pastors that are not born again. I know most of you have not been able to discern that TB Joshua is not born again. And when you go home, you switch on to Emmanuel TV, and it pollutes the atmosphere. You don't know the implication of bringing that presence to your home. Many more people will suffer because they don't have the capacity to discern. They will embrace the danger that will destroy their destiny. He said, you have no part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. This man was able to pick the state of his heart. Hallelujah. This man was able to understand that he was not born again, and also to pick the state of his heart through the gift of discernment of spirit. Because in the gift of discernment of spirit, what God does is that he brings his own witness about a matter to you, so that you no longer judge after the sight of your eyes, after the hearing of your ears. You judge by the witness of the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? So with this, you can purge dishonest activities in the church. I went to preach for a friend, and when I came to his platform, a lady was ministering in song. And as she ministered, her voice is like an angel's voice. As she was singing, it was as if they were choking me with needles. So I now called my friend and said, who is this girl? Say, she's the music. I just kept quiet. The way he was enthusiastic about the answer, I knew he was not ready for the truth, so I left him. Meanwhile, that ministry had to shut down. Yes, that's why I just kept quiet. She's the music. I was doing Bible study and I was preaching, just like I'm doing now. And the witch was in the congregation. She tried to attack me once, I saw it. Tried to attack me the second time, I saw it. I would have left her. It's not everything you see that you engage. She tried to attack me the third time. Then I felt it was necessary for me to ask her to repent so that we can deliver her. So when I called her out, and she refused to repent. So I said, okay, you'll be mad in 29 days. She was mad in 3 days. Yeah. Because, you see, I was doing my own thing. I was in the church. You left where you left, came to the church. You can come to the church, and I will know that you are a witch. If you don't attack me, you may not have that day. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? No. You can come to church and receive the word of repent later. So I won't do anything, even if I know you are a witch. But you attack me once, I mean, attack me again. Then you attack the third time. Okay, let's ensure that you are able to drive the demons out. Then Nana said, she now refused. So, you become mad. In 3 days' time, they brought her to my office for me to pray for her. I said, no, I can't help. She had her choice. She had her time. She made her choice. This is the result of the choice. It's not everybody you can help. Can't help. If you chose it, if you chose judgment, and it's only God, not him, to reverse. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Sorry for telling you some terrible stories. It's not. Most of you don't know the symptoms manifest that show that you're under attack. So you are preaching and you're under attack. You don't even know. May God build in us the inner consciousness of the spiritual knowledge that the witness of the Spirit brings to the human spirit. Hallelujah. The gift of discernment of spirit exposes demonic activity and forestalls occultic invasion of the church. And that is Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. You will get the tape later. Acts 16, 16 to 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, you see, a prophet prophesies, and somebody that uses a spirit of divination gives soothsayings. Soothsayings are so accurate in terms of the statements that are uttered. It is not every case that you can use the scriptures to decode that the person is false. Because there's a difference between true and truth, which I don't have time to establish now. Now, you will soon notice that the things she said under the influence of the spirit of divination are true. Now, next verse. Okay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Prophecy, basic prophecy, has three distinct characteristics. It's either speaking unto edification. Number two. Exhortation. Number three. Comfort. Now this is exhortation. What's the next one? Edification. Oh, this is an exhortation. The purpose of exhortation is to confirm the souls of the brethren. Now, if the believers that Paul and his team were sent to were still trying to access their ministry to see if they are accurate, if this word now comes, the souls of the brethren are confirmed and they are comfortable with their ministry. They accept their ministry. Are you with me? And so, if you look at those statements, it makes for prophecy. So sometimes what is wrong with an utterance is not the utterance itself. It's the source of the utterance. This is when you need the gift. Sometimes you can actually use scriptures to find out the loopholes. Like that woman that says she died and went to hell and brought a message for the church. She was operating against the law of the Bible. The law of the Bible does not permit somebody to go into the underworld and come back with a message. If not, Lazarus would have been the first person to print a pamphlet after visiting the underworld. And you know how the body of Christ shook because of that woman's revelation? It's because we're not taught. Even elders couldn't talk. Because the church has not been built on doctrine. So we don't know what is true. The other time, that guy came with tight matter. Elders could not bring scriptures and, oh my God, study your Bible, bro. Study your Bible. So at this level, you cannot even use the Bible to discern that this statement is wrong, because it's consistent according to the nature and the spirit of prophecy. But if we go with discernment, we strike at the source, heck, so you can pick the quality of what is speaking from that point. Notice that Paul did not know that it was a deceiving spirit initially. It took a while. Are you with me? And then after a while, when that gift was released and it was set in motion, he was able to perceive that this is from a different source. There's nothing wrong with the statement, but there's everything wrong with what he's speaking. So it is true, but not truth. You get that? All right. So with the gift of discernment of spirit, we can forestall the demonic activities and the invasion of the occult. Now, word of knowledge and word of wisdom, I will talk about that in 10 minutes. It's very easy. It's called a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Because God is the custodian of all knowledge. God is the custodian of all wisdom. So in word of knowledge, what God does is that he shares a little portion of the knowledge he knows with you to make you more effective in a particular engagement. Are you with me? In word of wisdom, he shares a little wisdom in the modicum of wisdom that he is, so that we can be more strategic in engaging circumstances and situations. Word of knowledge is informative. Word of wisdom is directive. You must have studied the Bible and you must have realized that the basis upon which we can profit from wisdom is his ability to give direction. The nature of wisdom is that it's a directive. Are you with me? So word of knowledge is what? Informative. And word of wisdom is what? Directive. Don't forget the difference, okay? In word of knowledge, you get information about the present and the past. Present and the past. So word of knowledge covers present and past. But word of wisdom is required to solve a problem that has defied human wisdom. So in word of wisdom, we receive a strand of God's enabling wisdom so that we can contend and change a situation. There is a crisis, there's a problem, there's an issue. Then we tap into the wisdom of God, the archives of God's wisdom, and he gives us a strand of wisdom with which we can tackle that issue. Are you with me? Now, this is the theoretical part that I'm trying to build. We'll now do the practical part if we have the time. Hallelujah. Because our teaching will be incomplete if all we do is the theoretical part. This is the kind of stuff they do in theological school. They just teach theory. And you can go to theological school and not become a minister. Because the things that you are bearing witness about are realities that are in Christ Jesus. And in order for you to be a true custodian of a reality, you must have experience in that reality, sufficient enough for you to be able to walk in it. As much as a theological school is good for anybody that is called. Anyway, I have been trained, though. I went to Bible school. I'm just telling you, it has limitations. After going to Bible school, go and press into God and have your encounters. So this is the theoretical part. We are still going to do the practical part. Amen. Oh my God, we can't go far now. Okay, I jump. Let me jump. Word of knowledge. Number one, it brings conviction of truth. Conviction of truth. John chapter 1, verse 45 to 49. Brings conviction of truth. Should I tell you something? One of the ways that people will believe that you are a man of God The easiest way, by word of knowledge. One of the easiest ways, they will just accept you. You are sent from God. Hallelujah. Make sure you pray that God will give you this gift. I prayed for it for long. And that my man, he was a king of word of knowledge. That my man that I worked with. I worked with him for 7 years. We moved into the bush, the woods. We casted out demons in the villages. You will soon realize that in raising the dead, what you need is word of wisdom. If you don't have the gift of word of wisdom, go and bury the person. Because sometimes God will say, pinch the dead body, pinch it, and hold it. And then the person will sneeze. It is directive. That my man was the king of raising the dead. That my man that I work with. Oh my God. I saw things. And because of that, I desired God. And he was coaching me, teaching me. I was learning from him. Those days when we go for a meeting and they give us a room, even if the bed is as big as this stage, only him will sleep on the bed. Me, I will sleep on the ground. 8 pillows on the bed. If I want to enter one side, So I made up my mind that if I ever become strong, I will never live by that example. The people I work with, let them sleep on the bed. I give them the bed. And I may even end up on the ground. So, but let them go. Let them. But for me, I slept on the ground. And so when the ground starts becoming cold in the night, you can't sleep. So I wake up and I begin to pray till daybreak. And when he wakes up from sleep, you say, Aike namu kurina sila kata. His prayer has finished. And when you go to the crusade ground, he will just bring out his white handkerchief, use it to clean the eyes of a blind person. Person will start seeing. Clean the second one, start seeing. Clean the third one. We'll come back again. He will spread himself on the bed. Me, I will pray. The next morning, Hallelujah. That was how I walked with my master. If you ever have something that is flashy, maybe you come with a gold watch and he likes the watch, you will receive it and then he will give you his own. You come with a phone, he will remove his SIM card, put it in that one, give you Nokia 3310. How many of you know Nokia 3310? Don't shine where he is, don't shine. He is the shining man, he's called to shine. You watch him shine. I follow. Then one day he now came and said, you are not a bad boy. You are okay. I'm seeing you. A humble boy. From today, let the things, prophetic things, begin to flow in your life. If that man, if he says, let these people die, he will enter his car and go. 3 days' time, go there. They are burying people. One day he came and said, Know which you fly this night on the crusade ground. Know which you fly this night. I'm here. Then one attempted. I think two are attempted and barrier. Then he came the next night and said, tonight to know which you fly. Another one attempted. But that the third night the witches came to visit him. They just said, can we negotiate this? COVID aside. That was my coach. After a long and every year, December, I will take a gift and go and kneel down. Then he will look at it. Okay. I was doing that for years. I was under, it was when he started traveling those trips and not coming back home again. I didn't have any cover. Imagine somebody would go for 5 years, no text message, no email. I knew I was without cover. Are you with me? And he came after a long time, said, you will begin to experience that. Very powerful man. But after I saw him years later, he will prophesy and you give him money. Prophesies for money now. That is divination. Did you see that scripture? That lady operating with the spirit of divination brought her masters much gain. If you sell prophecies, you are in divination. You have already entered into the space of divination. And you know, he's my master. It is not my responsibility to correct him. Don't. Are you with me? He can curse you. Oh, the prophets I grew up under, not as polite as I believe. I may not be polite to you, but compared to them, I am polite. He can curse somebody, the person will be blind. Just in this service now. That person whose phone rang would have been blind now. It's a serious case to invite him, because people might collide. Hallelujah. Follow. You will look at what you brought. We are giving gift again, you say. Hallelujah. But today, freely have I received and freely I give. One of the things I'm called to do is to give gifts. And such as I've received from the Lord Jesus, I'll give you. We don't have time. We didn't finish the course. There are several other points that we cannot handle during the course of this. But the revelational gifts will need to be strong in the body of Christ if we can manage revival. Hallelujah. Need to be strong. Can we pray for 5 minutes and you ask God? Just you can ask God for 3 of them. If there's one you like so much, ask him. He will answer your prayer. Let us ask the Lord to now. Wait, hallelujah. Before we get lost in the spirit, cast your offering first. Because I've discovered that if we go high, even to stop the prayer, in Jesus' name, it doesn't stop in loud tech. So, cast your offering first. When you finish, Lautek is on prayer mood. And that's great, that's great. That's great. And I believe that God will do mighty things through people that come through this corridor. Cast your offering cautious. Let's be fast about that. Fast about that. And choir, can you give us a spirited song while we capture this moment? If you have casted your offering, you can switch into prayer. Ushers, just choir, just one song to lighten us up. One song. One song.
Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we lift your name on high. Holy, holy, Adonai.
La son tomoro koske mahani.
Lord, we lift your name on high.
La brande cura
mahana.
La bohoria mi
segre.
Upa ha mahan.
Cura
si bradantan.
Use se se.
Sabu
kore. Sabu kore. Yeah.
Jesus. Mighty name. We have prayed. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now listen. A flood is about to come. If you give God half the chance, He will empower you with gifts. But use it to His glory. Always acknowledge Him as a source. Exalt Him publicly. Ascribe His deeds to Him. When He heals the sick, acknowledge it. Do not take His glory. Walk in humility. Develop genuine love for the people of God. Genuine love. Love them. The more you walk in this, the more the anointing on your life will increase. Such as I have. Wait. You see, don't distract yourself out of what is happening. Just, can you stop talking? Just seal your mouth. Except the ushers. The ushers, don't follow them in this prayer. I will make our time for your own. Huh? Because we need you to help manage the situation so that we can release. You see, God says He will give more than gifts. He will give some people mantles. He will give you. You will inherit some things right now. So if you are with me, you can identify with the right hand. As I pray. Ushers, don't worry. You, the people in the choir, the guys on the keyboard and the technical people, I'll pray for you separately. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. You don't need to say amen. Just focus your spirit on Jesus. I thank you because you are great. Thank you because you are kind. You work out your protocol in the lives of men so that you can make them conduit pipes, channels of your great bounties. Thank you for the privilege to be numbered in you, the privilege to serve your will. Tonight I ask that the floodgates of heaven might be open. I ask that it might please you to release spiritual gifts upon your people, investments that will see to the extension of the frontiers of the kingdom in our generation. To this end, O God, from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, begin to release. 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 Somebody is receiving the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Receive the anointing for the gift of faith. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. The gift of word of knowledge. Begin to receive it. Begin to receive it. Begin to receive it. Bring them. Stay connected. It is flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. Just stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. It's flowing now.
It's flowing now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Losana bahamte soko preskapele ketali ikamasuse sana talabohali ahata.
Oh, it's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. 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 It's stronger. It's stronger.
The gift of discernment of spirit, so that you no longer judge at the sight of your eyes or the hearing of your ears. Receive the gift of discernment of spirit. La bontensina alabacadia masopre. Let the impartation of the anointed, that powers that dimension of God, let it rest upon you. Rest upon, rest upon, rest upon, rest upon, rest upon, rest upon, rest upon. Thank you, Lord. Kombe samatali kuriali katama salababo. Let the flood begin to flow. Let the flood begin to flow. Let the flood begin to flow. Let the hand of God begin to release deposits of grace upon the lives of men and women. Deposits, 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 deposits of the grace of God. Deposits of the grace of God.
Come, all this young man and the other one with brown. Ask for what you want now. Ask for what you want now. Ask now.
It is coming, the gift of prophecy. Receive the gift of prophecy. Receive the gift of prophecy. Receive the gift of prophecy.
The angel of the Lord just descended into the company. Yes, yes, yes. There are distributions. 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 Everywhere. Distributions. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Laman Sheke Mama Mahayata. Labombre Sato Boko Korea Mama Sik. Labombe Lebo Korea Minseketa Labaha.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There are some of you here. In the days to come, I see that there are some of us that God will take outside of the country to be a witness for Him in other nations of the world. And the Lord will be anointing people for international missions. The grace for international missions.
The grace for international missions. The grace for international missions. The grace. Yes, it's descending. It's coming strong. The grace. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh yes, Malakos can pray. Kupra Samantala Baboro Pussy. Feel the vessels that are presented before you. Let the spirits of men and women at large receive an impartation from the Holy Ghost. Gloria sike brahata mababoro.